There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are.
Welcome to ACN.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Professional Style. It is the Sunday after Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving weekend, and we just want to wish everybody listening a phenomenal holiday weekend. Remember to continue to give thanks even though Thanksgiving is over. My name is Kathleen Williams, and I'm your host. You are listening to Professional Style right here on the Ask Kathleen Network. And tonight I am joined by my co-host, Jerome S3, and also soon to join us will be Ronnie tonight, and hopefully she'll be calling in any moment. So I am excited that you're listening. We're excited that you're here. Glad that you had a great Thanksgiving weekend, and we're going to take a really quick break, pace, and build, and come right back with Professional Style. You can join us by calling in at 909-265-9189, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to SBNet News, 90-second news break. President Obama reiterated this week high earners in the U.S. will pay more in taxes. He called for quick legislation to reduce taxes on the first $250,000 of income, but refused to extend tax cuts to the wealthiest 2%. He said we should not hold the middle class hostage. Oil giant British Petroleum, or BP, will pay the biggest fine in U.S. history, $4.5 billion, as part of their plea agreement. BP also pled guilty to 14 criminal charges in the 2010 Deepwater Horizon disaster. It's been 2.5 years since the untold millions of gallons of oil was dumped into the Gulf of Mexico. An Irish betting firm took a half-page ad in the Irish Times newspaper before the presidential election, which read, "Sorry, Romney, you're not black or cool. We're playing out early on an Obama victory." Now, as spokesman said, it's a statement of fact. The president of the U.S. is black, he is cool, and he's the president of the free world who hangs around with Jay-Z. If that's not cool, what is? A Chicago bakery has created alcohol-filled donuts. The new donuts at Delightful Pastries come with three alcoholic varieties: vanilla bean, vodka custard, chocolate custard, Godiva chocolate liquor, and passion fruit Grand Marnier jelly. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet News on ACN.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities, the building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Professional Style. This is Catherine Boyle from your host. And tonight I am joined by Jerome and Steve, my co-host, one of my beautiful sister, Bonnie, and she is my hi, welcome to Mike to the Line. And I just want to ask you all to feel free to call in and join us on conversation. The number to call us is 909-265-9189. Again, that's 909-265-9189. And tonight, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I don't know how many of you are fretting over a few gained pounds, a few gained pounds over the holiday weekend. And you don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but if you are one of those people that has been trying to lose weight all year long, and then you said, okay, but I'm not going to eat that much over Thanksgiving to make sure that I don't really tip over the deep end, and then you're a little sad this holiday weekend, don't give up. You still have a month and a week left to accomplish your weight loss goals for 2012. So realistically speaking, if you are anything like my sister Ronnie, you can lose 60 pounds. Ronnie has the tricks and the secrets, and so does Jerome, actually. When we get to quantum living, we will talk about that part of it. But Ronnie can tell you how to get off at least 20 pounds before 2013. So, hey, Ronnie.
Hello, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy belated Thanksgiving. And the wonderful Jerome Esprit is here with us tonight. Hey, Rome. Where is Jerome? And he's running the board. Jerome, you're on mute. If you heard, or he hung up on us. One.
Oh, my bad. I think I got caught on this last time, so I'm double muted these days. Anyway, so I was just saying that I don't know if it's Christmas or Thanksgiving because of the early Christmas stuff that was going on. I thought I missed Thanksgiving last month.
I'm like, I couldn't even believe it. What is up with Christmas coming before Thanksgiving?
It's going to be right after Halloween in a minute.
I think it already is.
Oh, okay.
I think it already is.
I couldn't believe it. Everywhere I went, they had all the Christmas trees were up and out. And I was like, wait a minute. We didn't even celebrate Thanksgiving yet.
If it wasn't for the Black Friday, they'd eliminate Thanksgiving.
Okay. First of all, I think there should be a new rule. If I still have turkey left, it is not Christmas. I just want to throw that out there. If there is turkey in your house, you can't do any Christmas shopping.
It is not Christmas yet.
Nope.
I don't get it. They were playing, I mean, even the TV shows, they played, I actually happen to like this movie, but still, it was Thanksgiving night, and I'm watching that movie this Christmas. Did you all see that with Loretta Devine and Idris Elba, Rome? Idris Elba, whatever his name is. Yeah.
I'm no hater.
Loretta Devine, Idris Elba, Kerry Washington, Chris Brown. And Chris Brown was singing in that one too. And Regina King. And I mean it was action packed, fully loaded with actors. Did anybody see that movie? Did you guys see that movie?
I saw it the first year, I guess.
You saw it what?
It was out a while ago, right? 2009 or so?
Yeah.
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 So
Chris Brown, man.
He's a superstar. There's no doubt.
He's a rock star. He could sing. I'm like, would you listen to this? Listen to him. And, okay, so did you all see that so they're saying that he canceled his Guyana concert because they had protests in Guyana. They don't want him to come there because he beat up a country woman. Well, it beat up a woman, but a country woman.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I heard that he said publicist said that he never really had signed up for the concert anyway, but that sounds like they didn't want him there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he sign up for a concert there? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they probably
confirmed.
Yeah, they probably floated his name to do a concert, and then there was fallout. But that normally happens. That's cool.
Mhm. That's okay. You know, it's still going to take some time. I think he's done magnificently well for a person that did what he did.
Well,
as far as the comeback goes.
I'm not gonna add in on whatever anybody thinks that he did, but all I'm saying is that that's a very old story. And Chris Brown is, how old is that kid? Anybody know?
I think he's like 23.
Yeah, and so that happened. Yeah, so he was probably about 19, 20 when that happened. Yeah, so you know what? Those are dog years at that age. Like, you know, like you're a different person from the time that you're 18, 19 to like 25. So hopefully, you know, when you give people time to grow up, like just, you know what I mean?
He's a rock star. He is a rock star. I'm telling you, he is a monster performer. I feel bad for the things that happened, but the sad thing about getting involved in young people's business or even old people's business, you look like an idiot because they're already back
doing whatever
it is they did.
Yeah, back together and not even paying you any attention. They don't even know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's always the case.
So, and Rihanna, what did they say? She stopped on stage and cursed out her band? No, did she?
No, I didn't see that.
She stopped on stage and cursed out her band because they were like, I don't know if they were off key or whatever. They weren't doing what they were, what she wanted them to do. And she, on stage, she wore them out.
Okay.
Wow. Maybe she's been hanging out with Nicki Minaj too long.
Exactly. Exactly. That would not be professional, now would it?
Is that what Nicki Minaj does?
Oh, but it makes for excellent reality. You know, the reality world is full of let's do some really radical, edgy things to get people, you know, twittering or whatever it is they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the problem with that is, though? When people come to stop coming to see your butt, and then you're begging people to come out to your shows. You can't have you can't have egos like that. That's why I love seeing, you know, Gladys Knight and all of those guys perform, because they know it's about the audience. You cover for your band. You don't stop your band and chastise them for jack. You just keep it moving to give them a good show. It's not rehearsal. They're like Prince and Finem. That's what Prince did. I don't think Prince would actually stop his show saying somebody missed.
Nobody in their right mind would do that.
I don't remember ever hearing about anything like that, you know, with musicians back in the day. And you can't tell me people didn't make mistakes.
No. You never hear about that anywhere, right? So if you watch a sports game.
Oh, yeah, you do.
No, you don't. If you're playing basketball and say they had an out-of-bounds play and somebody missed their spot, do they call a timeout and be like, yo, you need to go up here and then come down there? You know, nobody does. You improvise. It's a part of playing the game. So if you're performing, you're doing something, you can't, you know, have moments where you're being an egomaniac, because the band don't stop when your butt's off key.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that, though. I missed that.
I'll send it to you. Yeah, so, you know, they had some drama. But anyway, going back for a second to, that movie, Chris Brown. Not only is he's a superstar, rock star, musician, but he's a heck of a good actor.
That's why I call him a rock star. I don't mean rock star as far as just music. He is just rocking hard. He's a rockin' hot package. He is everything. And you could just take his dancing and never ever hear him sing a note or see him act. He dances like there is no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nobody. Only person that could top him? is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
That's the only person that could top. That's the only person that could top him dancing. Usher is great, but I think that Chris is the dance monster. He is everything. He is the hotness when it comes to dancing. So I think that he's the total package. He really is. And so being that, if we can live through the R. Kelly craze.
He's been on TV all weekend.
Haven't you seen him? I love it. You know what I love about him? That he's so crazy. He's so crazy, but he stays away just long enough for you to almost forget.
Almost forget how nuts he is. Exactly.
So now he's going to have the hip opera on Broadway. They better get out of my way. I will ride a motorcycle through the theater to see him do this in the closet.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen that?
He's got more product, R. Kelly, man. And you know the thing, it'll be sold out every night.
I will be there every night. He's going to have 23. He already has 23 episodes. I didn't know he was still writing them.
Yeah, he's a talent, too, now.
But he's nuts.
Does he act?
I've never seen him in anything, but the hip opera, he's the one that does all the, you know, he sings the scenes, he sings the dialogue, I mean, he sings, the script, whatever. He's nuts. That brother is crazy.
So what I saw the other day was the start, whatever that scene is, and he really likes that old school black and white movie type thing. So I saw the beginning of the Love Letter tour. Right, where he does that scene with some sister. That did you guys see this? It's just the craziest. Like she's got on the diamonds and the fur and the the fur stole, the mink stole, and the black dress and the hip finger waves and stuff. And he's dressed up like one of the Untouchables or something. And he's sitting at a bar. Did you guys see this? I didn't see that.
I didn't see that one. I saw a different one. But he's a period artist, too. That's what I love about him. He really is a genius.
Very, very, very creative. Very creative. So she's
but crazy.
Up there. Huh?
What crazy?
So she's up there. Kill. Take me back, Kill. I'm so sorry I left you. It was just the crate. It was really funny. So anyway, so then they started to love him.
Where did you see him?
It was on, I believe it was on Centric. It might not have even been on Centric because they've had all, his tours. The Love Letter tour was on. The R. Kelly special was on another channel. And R. Kelly on the R. Kelly of the R. Kelly was on someplace else. It was just, it was a weekend of R. Kelly. I didn't watch all of it.
I saw him on The View.
He was on The View, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't see that. And then on Saturday Night Live last night, did you see them making fun of Kelly and Michael Strahan?
I must have fell asleep before that came on. I fell asleep after the Ann Romney.
Oh, I didn't see that. I missed that. So, Jerome, Ronnie is the expert on Kelly and Michael Strahan. She's like Michael Strahan's biggest fan.
Okay, I missed that. I don't pay them too any attention.
So I knew she would enjoy hearing that they made fun of them on Saturday Night Live, right?
Was it good?
It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
You missed Ann Romney? I laughed so hard after they did Ann Romney that I couldn't breathe. I had to go to sleep.
No, I missed it. I didn't
sweat. Oh, I have to check YouTube because I love Michael Strahan. And he's such a perfect addition to the show. And the fact that they even thought to put an African-American anybody on morning television. Like,
yeah, that's pretty
bad. Whoopi and what's her name, Sherry Shepherd, you know, okay, we'll give them a pass because they come on almost in the afternoon. But prime time morning television? He's got to be the only black man on morning TV. There are no others.
Well, I'll let Rome respond to that because I don't know. But I'm assuming no.
Except Al Roker.
Oh, yeah. And is he still weather? Is Al Roker still weather?
Yeah.
So it was Regis and Kathy Lee, right?
Right.
Forever, and then it was Regis, and then it went right to Regis and Kelly, right?
Right. Excuse me.
And then to have that particular program go from Regis and Kelly to Kelly and Michael Strahan, I'm still in shock.
It's a shocker.
I'm so shocked.
It's a shock of all shocks.
It is shocking.
It's a shock of all shocks. It is.
I'm very happy for him, but I'm still in shock. Every time I turn it on, I'm like, really? How impressive. Very happy for him. Very happy.
Me too. And he's great.
Yeah, the only problem I had is, like, they had a bunch of snakes on there for the last couple of weeks. I had to, you know, not.
Well, they're doing that because he doesn't like snakes.
Yeah, but okay. Hello. Nobody else.
That's my point.
Don't like snakes.
Yeah, but he hates snakes.
The only person I know.
Yeah, whatever. And the thing is, he hates snakes. So the idiot that's the producer is, you know, doing that to you know, give him the business. He don't like snakes. We don't, the majority of us don't play around with snakes.
Yeah, I don't think it's funny, though, but whatever.
He doesn't either. He's not amused.
Yeah. I'm not amused either. So anyway, let's go into it's 8:22, so let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton, and I got to figure out why on earth she's leaving this position of Secretary of State. I really don't get it. I think she, you know, she's done an incredible job. I do not understand why she wouldn't continue. So we're going to talk about that when we get back from this break. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network. I am joined by my co-host, Jerome Esprit, and Ronnie, my great sister, Ronnie Best, is here with me tonight. And you can join us, too, if you want to get in on the conversation. Just dial in at 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. We'll be right back after we take a quick break.
Protein Effect, new Special K protein cereal. With 10 grams of protein and 3 grams of fiber, finally a protein cereal to help keep you fuller longer. Willpower, what will you gain when you lose?
Seems like you guys got a little gas.
Enough
out.
Already. Come on, guys. Next question. Here.
What's your favorite color?
What's my favorite color?
Yes.
Purple.
What's your favorite animal?
Sea turtle.
What's your bedtime? Do you believe in space aliens?
I love puppies.
Hash browns or home fries?
Home fries.
Do you like my dress?
Why can't you guys ask good questions like this?
For a chance to interview an NFL player, join Visa NFL Fan Offers and make your season epic.
Red Lobster's hitting the streets to tell real people about our new 15 under 15 menu.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh, this looks amazing.
That's a good deal. Wow.
It's so good.
Our new mainstays, 15 entrees under $15. seafood, chicken, and more.
Oh, the tilapia with roasted vegetables.
I'm actually looking at the wood grill chicken with portobello wine sauce.
You're so fascinated by the price and you keep rambling at home.
That pork chop was great.
No more fast food Fridays. We gotta go. We're gonna go to Red Lobster. Yeah.
Try our 15 under 15 menu and see food differently.
Welcome back. You're listening to Professional Style. I'm Kathleen Williams, and I'm here with my co-host, Jerome Esprit, and Veronica, my sister, Bonnie. Thanks for joining us. We are welcome to call in and talk with us at 909-265-9189. We're here on Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network. And right now, we're going to tackle this question that is bothering me. I see all the news, I see all the commentary about Hillary not coming back and who's being considered for the next Secretary of State, and I want to ask the question, why are we even having this, why are we even asking this question? Why isn't Hillary Clinton going to be reappointed as the next Secretary of State? I am confused about it, and since we have political strategist with extraordinaire Jerome Esprit right here with us. Jerome, okay. Could you please tell me why Hillary Clinton is not going
all
to
right.
be?
Okay, Ronnie, you want to take a stab at this first? I am, I'm still laughing that Kathleen's confused by this. So
I'm so confused. I don't get it. Okay, first of all, what I had heard by listening to her husband, he said that she definitely wouldn't run for president again in 2016, and that she was probably going to leave after this term, president's term, because she was just exhausted. But that sounded like to me that, she was willing to give him, the time that she gave him, but basically she wanted to be the president. So then, why should I be? This is me reading into it. This is a Ronnieism. This doesn't mean it has anything. I love reading my own, writing my own scripts and my own interpretation of what I think I hear. But that's what I think I heard. She gave me a good try, but she's tired, and maybe she wants to do some other things. Maybe she wants to write some books and make some good money. Who knows? But I think that she's just like, I'm done. I've done as much as I can do. I think it's a travesty for her to leave. I really do. And okay. What I said to that was, I'm assuming, like Ronnie, you were saying, she's going to run for president in 2016, or at least that's the conversation. So I don't understand. If, in fact, it's that she's exhausted, why would she... why would she say she's exhausted, even if she didn't want to do Secretary of State again now? Why would she say she's exhausted if she's going to be putting her bid in for running for president in 2016? That part I don't get, because I think no one can be more tired than the president.
Okay. So I'm going to start from the non-gossipy side of why you don't, why people get out of one administration to the other. There's a couple reasons. One, they don't get very much money working for the government, even at that level. President only gets about, $250,000. If the president quit, he can make more money. I'm speaking at colleges. Like that could, and so you have to remember, when you're Secretary of State, you don't sleep either. The president actually should get more sleep, because technically you're responsible for all the embassies and all of the diplomatic stuff that's going on in each of your embassies. And plus, with the wars that are breaking out or the Arab Spring stuff, your Secretary of State, that is their first, they're the first line of defense before they even get back to the president. So your embassy is negotiating and is in contact in every country that's having any kind of trouble or not. But your embassy folks have to get back to the Secretary of State who actually alerts the president. So there's still a pecking order that you're going in there. Just like the military has its order up the chain, and then you have the Joint Chiefs, and then you have the Justice Department with the FBI, and then you have that pecking order. And then, like, there are so many different agencies that don't sleep. Like, you know, Eric Holder said that he didn't think that he'd be back for a second term. Those are 24-hour-a-day jobs. And so, you know, you get tired. And like I said, the pay is not there either. So you have to remember, if you're making that little amount of money working 24 hours a day, yes, you do get tired. And it ages you like crazy. I don't know if you guys seen a picture of Hillary anytime soon, but she does not look cute, if that's my way of putting it.
Well, now, back to you saying the non-gossipy aspect, I did say she's probably out to, you know, going to maybe resign and get more money writing books or whatever, take more deep. I did say that. But...
But you get more rest, also, too, though.
I also think that she is dynamic. She's just made for that job. Nobody gets any sleep. Let's just say it that way. Nobody gets any sleep. And there's people like me who doesn't get any sleep, and I don't even get to go to Paris. Yet. Let's put it that way. So she gets to go to Paris and she gets to go to other places. I was very impressed with her when she got on the plane to go to possibly put a ceasefire in effect over in Israel and Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't even stop at the hair. You know what I mean? She did not even stop at the hair trailer.
Right.
She did
Okay,
her
and
hair,
Ronnie,
her hair was just not done. Her business was not done. She was just all about her business. So I was really impressed with her. I think we should all send her some cards or something. Maybe she needs some padding. You know what I mean? Because she's doing a doggone good job, and she's not getting any accolades, really. And neither is the president, though. They treat him like a dog. They treated him like a dog.
But it depends on how you look at it. I mean, again, history is going to reflect the president a little bit better and Hillary as far as this is concerned. I mean, I don't know if it's been widely reported, but even the ceasefire that happened in Gaza, it was kind of like the Israeli president said, I got a call from President Obama, and he's pretty much asking for the ceasefire, so we're going to cease fire. He really just said it that simply. He didn't say it was because Hillary came or anything. It was direct reflective of the president, but the president sent Hillary and said, we need to get this done now. And so it did have some effect, just the weight of the presidency. And so you can't downplay that because media is not picking up. I think that what we're getting in this country is a bad vacuum of people not doing good journalism or there's not really good messages out. So there is a vacuum, and so that's why people are saying, you know, I don't know if she's doing a good job, or if I don't know if he is. But if you kind of peel it back a little bit, obviously they're doing a good job just from the actions that other nations take towards us. Like if you look, I mean, and I do, I know I look at a lot of news, but you can look at the Telegraph or the Belfast Telegraph in Ireland or just other countries, and you will see how happy they are about this president. Like, they are glad that he won, and they're blasting the opponents because they know austerity doesn't work. You cannot cut yourself into getting things better. It's been proven that you just can't cut taxes and thinking that that creates jobs. That's dumb, and that's stupid and dumb. But I don't know why the media won't say that, because you have about a good 30 years of tax cutting, tax cutting, tax cutting, and no more jobs. You have a track record of that, so you know it don't work. So to actually put that stuff up there very seriously, like it's plausible, is, is malpractice by, you know, people who are covering this stuff. So I think when you talk about Hillary, I think when you talk about Hillary and why people leave administrations or not, they usually stay about 4 to 5 years and leave anyway. So they don't usually stay on for the whole term, full 8 years. None of them really do.
No.
Colin Powell resigned, though.
Colin Powell resigned, too.
Well, right, because at the beginning of each administration, all of those positions are up for grabs. All of them. They get to appoint. So you don't technically get fired. You get to apply for your job again. That's pretty much how that works.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to say this about the media. They are still reeling from the thought that they can't sit back and gloat over President Obama being unseated. All of them have to go back to their rooms and their drawing boards. Clint Eastwood is done. Nobody's going to buy any more Clint Eastwood movies. You know, they thought that this would be the news item that would send them all into the stratosphere. And that didn't happen. So they are devastated.
Yep.
I'm sure they already had millions of stories written on the unseating of President Barack Obama.
You know what? And you know why that's actually true, Ronnie? It's because you know that there is really nothing being done politically on TV. They're making they're making up this fiscal cliff story to fill
a
void in
the
news.
Fast. They made that fiscal cliff up so fast, and we're like, fiscal cliff? Where did you get that?
Right after election, didn't they?
Next day.
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's just crazy. I think that for years the media has wanted to give the impression that they actually elect the president. You know, they use polls. They say, okay, well, we're just reporting on the polls, but the reporting on the polls is usually skewed. So this election and the 2008 election, more than anything else, it seems to me that the media, Fox News, which isn't news, and several other media moguls felt like they should be able to dictate
CNN.
The election.
Yep. CNN, ABC,
they wanted to be able to dictate it, and they seem to be furious that they
ABC.
Were not able to determine the outcome of this election, and they want to take the, you know, they want to get that out of the news before people recognize it. Like, oh shoot, it didn't work. Oh my God! Let's create some other stories for people to look at.
Right, and you know, there's a
and George Stephanopoulos and Diane Sawyer probably had gotten a pay cut.
They all should have. They all banked on something that was just false. And so it just shows how, and I'm proud, here's the thing, I am really proud of black folks. I just want to say that right up front as far as this election is concerned, because those numbers in some areas being so high without black people having to throw a party or even alert the news media that they were going to do it and having these high numbers of voters turn out, is remarkable, and it sets black people on a different path than ever before when people can't predict if black people are coming out or not. So we'll come out whether you know that we're coming out or not. So I am proud of that fact, and so I think it changes the paradigm a little bit. But at the same time, you know, there is something to be said about media silence of and their skepticism and cynicism of the president because it's not fitting a narrative. They don't really have a good story when the country's doing well. So they're so used to Fox News type of, you know, something horrible is going on in the world, special news story kind of stuff. They're so used to that they're just kind of programmed that way. So it's interesting that I read a report about that said how conservative CNN was. And saying that all of our main news media outlets became more conservative over the last 4 years. And that is primarily because they're trying to get Fox News numbers because they have a locked-in audience, so they all started being conservative, and they started hiring a bunch of conservatives.
Now they're all, including O'Reilly, sitting at home, licking their wounds and trying to figure out where they're going to go now. Since the people that pay them to sway
it just doesn't work. They'll still get paid to do it. It just does not work. So those guys have a function, right? So since the president won, they're going to have a job. Their job is to antagonize the president. They're the opposite side. So they're going to do their job.
Jerome, please say that again, because that is so true. It just it needs to be said.
Right. They are definitely going to keep their jobs because it's not their job to predict the outcomes of political races. It's their job to be antagonists to sitting power. So everybody who hates the president will tune into Fox because they'll be hating him 24 hours a day. It's a captive audience.
It's ridiculous. Okay. Yeah, it really makes me mad. But anyway.
Okay.
So I didn't get the so give me one more time. Why is Hillary leaving? Is because she's not making a whole lot of money and it's aging her and she's tired, or give me the.
Well, it's not the vanity of it. It's that when you get in appointed positions, people stay there about 4 years. Sometimes 2 to 3 years, and it's why they go through so many White House speakers, correspondents, and all of that other stuff, is because once you get the prestige of being there, then on the public market, you have more value. So people leave your administration because I think David Axelrod is going to run up the Center of Public Policy at the University of Chicago. One of those schools, right? So he is going to be chair of a part of a university. Like, imagine how much money that is. He's not going to go back to the White House and make $150,000 and stay up 24 hours a day.
Right.
Right? And so those people usually work for government, not for the money, just for the prestige and the title, and then they leave.
Right.
So if she wants to run for office, she needs to take a rest out of being there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. She probably needs to go in, do her little tour, do some foundation work. She needs to do some other stuff because that being president ages you, hence the gray hair.
Right.
Those are high-pressure jobs.
So that's why she's leaving.
I don't know why she's personally leaving. I know they gave a lot of reasons, but she could really just be tired. It ages you. You don't want to have an old body and be in those positions. I mean, although John McCain is still living, and that was a running joke back in the days about him not being able to make it, John McCain can just wake up and be the grumpy old man and yell about Susan Rice and all of that other stuff and go back to bed. But if he was there and he had to have the worry of the nation on him 24/7, that, you know, I'm not sure he'd be okay. He might have dementia now, let alone then. Anyway, that was just
big
for me.
Okay,
he's crazy.
You are listening to Professional Style. The phone number is 909-265-9189 if you want to jump in on the conversation. 909-265-9189. So, Jerome, you mentioned that Eric Holder said he might not return as Attorney General. Do we have the word on that yet, or?
Well, no, he's agreed to stay on a little longer. I mean, he initially said that he was going to leave, but he agreed to stay on a little longer. Eric Holder has a rough job. So.
Yeah, he sure does. He sure does. And
so,
one other question. Do we any thoughts about who might then be best slated to fill in that role for Secretary of State?
Oh, everybody's going Susan Rice. But they should say Susan Rice. She's highly qualified to be there. You know, she's a Rhodes Scholar and, you know, did her time in Oxford and all. I mean, she has prestige. She's deputy, I guess she was in the Defense Department. She's during the Clinton administration. So she has a ton of experience. But my hint that Susan Rice would be there is because President Obama, when he came into office, when he put Susan Rice at UN Secretary, he elevated the UN Secretary's position to a cabinet position. So she sat in every time Hillary was there. So when he always had cover. So Susan Rice was at the table, when your Secretary of State was at the table and your Defense Secretary was at the table. So she primarily had a cabinet position because the president elevated her job to the cabinet anyway.
You heard it here first.
Oh, no. Well, he did. That's public record. That's public record.
I know it is, but I had not heard that. I knew that she was rolling. You know, I knew that she had a very prestigious position. I did know that she was very engaged. But what I did miss the part that the position that she was in, I thought that it was always at that level. I did not know that he elevated that position and therefore always had cover. I'm going to say it never ceases to amaze me how smart this president is. You know, I just see it over and over, time and time again in various different places.
It really goes understated. It really is understated, yeah.
Very, very smart guy. And the thing I like about him, too, is there's often the conversation about people who are so smart, and a lot of folks say, okay, well, he's book smart, or he's this smart, or he's that smart, but he's not street smart. This guy has it across the board. He's street smart, and he's everything else smart. So, you know,
yeah, I think he plays poker well as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Think about it. There was controversy when Eric Holder was nominated for Justice Department, right? And
yeah.
You know why there's controversy? Because the Justice Department is in every town in this country, right? So since they report to Eric Holder, who's black, no matter how conservative your state is, no matter how racist your county is, if you go to the local Justice Department, they were going to shut it down. So what the president did was, on the exact day that he nominated Hillary Clinton, he nominated Eric Holder, and all of the media went to Hillary Clinton. It was brilliant.
Clinton.
It was a brilliant move.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jerome, for breaking down these nuances, you know, some of the nuances that could go under the radar and that a lot of people don't quite catch, you know. So I just want to thank you for being on your job. And let me see if I can do this, not running the board.
Oh, yeah, because you know I would have stopped that.
Jerome is running the board, and I know if he had caught me, he would have stopped that applause. But anyway.
I can see it.
Anyway, so can we take a real quick break and get back in just a moment? We're going to talk about being single. And, Ronnie, don't leave. I know you have to go quickly, but I want you to be in on this conversation. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network. We are here with Jerome Esprit and Ronnie, my co-host. We just finished talking about Hillary Clinton, and if you missed it, definitely you want to go back and catch that in the archives. And we'll be back talking a little bit about being single. So we'll be right back after we take a quick break for Professional Style.
Mom, can I have a dollar?
Yeah, that's right. I think my purse is upstairs on the bed.
Moms everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Professional Style. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, and I'm here with my sister and co-host, Ronnie, and my other co-host, Jerome, the free political strategist extraordinaire. And we are talking about everything that uplifts your professional style. Every Sunday evening at 8 p.m., you'll find us here on the Ask Kathleen Network. Please join us. Tell your friends, call in 909-265-9189 if you want to jump in on the conversation. We'd love to have you. So getting back now, after we've talked about Chris Brown, Rihanna, and Hillary Clinton, where else would you find conversations like this? Oh, I know, on EsprNet News on Thursday night. Thursday nights at 11, you will get some incredible news. And on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. right here on the Ask Kathleen Network and on EsprNet Radio, you will find an incredible show we call Black on Black Crime. And that is hosted by Jerome Esprit and Finesse, and it's an incredible show. You just have to tune in. And tomorrow, I'm not sure what's on the menu for tomorrow, but 2 p.m., here on Ask Kathleen or EsprNet News, you can catch Black on Black Crime as well. So, moving right back into the being single conversation. Yesterday, a friend of mine called me and just mentioned that she's noticed in and around the country that there are so many women who are single and don't want to be. Single, looking for husbands, looking for men to be in relationships with, and that they just remain single. So she said something to me that was really interesting, and she said, she's a minister, she said, Kathleen, this just couldn't be God's plan, you know. And I was like, are you asking me?
No comment. Yeah.
You know, but she said, this just couldn't be God's plan. So she said, she asked me, did I have a comment or a theory about what was really going on? And I actually do not. So I wanted to bring it to the table to discuss it with you, Jerome, and you, Ronnie, to see if you have a thought or a theory about why so many women are single and looking and unsuccessful in finding lifelong mate.
Viagra.
You have a theory. Uh-huh. Did you say I have one or I have not?
I heard what she said too, but I'm not going to say it.
What did you say? What did you say?
Ronnie's on the line. Don't ask me.
Ronnie, what did you say?
Okay, she's being silent. She's being silent.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. We're gonna let Ronnie's theory go by.
Jerome, do you have a theory?
No. Let Ronnie go. Go ahead.
I said Viagra.
Oh no! I thought you were gonna say your theory this time. I heard that part.
You said they're all single. They are all single and can't find mates because of Viagra.
Yes.
Okay. Explain, Lucy.
That was Ronnie's theory.
Explain, Lucy. Explain.
Okay. You know, over the centuries, I'll say over the generations, we, for the most part, male and female, would get together, and there were reasons why people got married. You know, they got married for family structure. They got married for, you know, the fact that parents would say, oh, you know, it's about time you should be married. You know, it's about time you had children. It's about time you did this. You know, and other the family members would support it. You know, people would pay for the marriages. Everybody would get together. Catholics were forbidden to practice family planning. They definitely did not take birth control. And so, therefore, people would get married. And I'm not saying they stayed married. There were always issues in, as far as divorce and divorce rates and things like that. But I think right now, at this particular time, the pressure is not as great to be married for males as it used to be, because for one thing, they can and through the internet, it's instant click on chicks. You can, oh, she's, I'm sick of her today. Click, there's another one. Click, there's another one. Click, there's another one. Every time you look up and click, there's another one. A man can click to his heart's content. He can sit on the internet and talk to this girl. Click on that girl. She'll talk to him. The women, to me, in my opinion, most women put themselves in this position. Because if you weren't on the internet for the man to see you and talk to you and then click off of you, and I know there's a gentleman on the line, so I'm trying to be sensitive a bit, but there's a way that we just allow ourselves to be disposed of. It's quick microwave relationships and then disposed of. Click, you're off. I'm logged off of you. And women don't hold their own. They won't say, you know what, this is not correct. I'm not saying I don't like the internet. I love the internet. I think it's a tool that is one of the best things that's ever happened to, you know, our society. But there's the drawback, and I believe that internet quick click is devastating. And Viagra has given men a new lease on life that hasn't given to women. We don't have a Viagra.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Yeah, you do.
Our new Viagra is dating guys at preschool. Who wants to date a guy at preschool? It's fun for a minute, but you can't successfully marry a guy that's 30 years younger than you and expect there to be a success, because if you're 60 years old and you marry or date a guy that's 30 years old, at a point this guy is going to want children or something that you can't provide for him. And that's my theory. I might have got a little serious about it, but that is what I've observed. And a lot of it is not all women's fault, but a lot of it is, because you should not be allowing yourself to be clicked on and clicked off. And the reason why I know what I'm talking about is because I watch the girl. I listen to them all the time, and they're always on the internet buying that subscription to be picked on and clicked on. Oh, he's blinking at me, or whatever it is they call it.
Bonnie, I love you. Because you are going to tell it. Anyway.
Yes. Okay, I'm trying to compose myself back after riding in the Viagra stuff. But okay, so let me quickly say this before I get started, is that I did do a story that they're testing out this female version of Viagra. It's actually a spray. It's like a inhaler spray. But the equivalent, it's a nasal spray, I'm sorry, and the nasal spray is being tested in Canada. And so it's a drug called Tofina, and it's a testosterone gel or something that absorbs through the body, through the nose. And so they're testing it. It should be out at some point. But anywho, here's what I want to say. And they're testing in Australia and in Canada, by the way. Still in trials. But here's the thing. the problem with the question was, women who are actively seeking to be in a relationship and can't find one. Was that it, Kathleen? I don't want to get off the subject here.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. I had a theory on this years ago, and it still holds true. Some women aren't fit to be in relationships. That is not to say that guys are not having some culpability in this whole thing, but women have been sold this for the last 20 years, 20, 25 years. I don't need a man. I don't need a man. And they started acting like they ain't need nobody, and now you got a bunch of unfit guys for a relationship, and women don't know how to be in a relationship anymore. So that was going to come to a head at some point. Now people who want desire to be in them, if you asked them about 10 years ago what was your behavior in a relationship, and they were like, I need him, you know, and that stuff has started to become a plague on society. Now everybody who I know who is married are in very harmonious relationships, and I always see nice, good relationships, but that is just me. I'm not saying that's not what other people are seeing, but all I'm saying is that you can't go through life setting the parameters for your mate without letting them live their life as well. So I think once we started, you know, going through the 80s of, you know, I'm every woman and I can be just like a man and there's some equality in relationships, I think relationships went down the tubes. Guys don't even feel like they're equal in relationships. This is how guys normally operate. I just make the money and give it to her. That is you. That's old school. Women relinquished that and said, hey, I don't want that responsibility anymore. We need to share this half. And that's where your relationship has gone.
All right, wow.
Just thought I'd share.
909.
265-9189.
909-265-9189. And I feel like I should be in the ring and say, okay, back to your corners. But that's an interesting position, Rome.
Well, it's a pretty easy one too. I mean, it's not like I haven't grown up through it. It's kind of like as you observed that, and I've been in this conversation quite a few times where, you know, I have a friend in Georgia who said the same thing. She and about 8 of her friends, you know, upper management black females, saying, you know what, we can't find anybody to give a good relationship in. And I said, remember your college days? Remember that? Of saying, I don't need no man. Mm-hmm. It was all about your career. And now you have nice houses, nice careers, and no relationships.
Jerome, did you just say uh-huh in the middle of that?
I'm not sure.
Like uh-huh, mm-hmm. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not me throwing a dig. It's not a personal statement. That's an observation. That was my reaction when I was being asked the question, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. It wasn't
well,
me being anything.
Well, in my experience, I don't really remember any woman in college, in high school, or any other time saying that they didn't need men. What I remember hearing that in the media. I don't really remember hearing it in my personal life amongst any of my friends. I really don't. And I don't recall too many women that I know of who acted that out, even if they weren't saying it out loud. The majority of the women that I've known, even in college, most of them were interested in finding partners.
Mm-hmm.
All, you know, just really interested in finding partners. All throughout college, they were looking for, you know, the guys they were dating, they were interested in marrying those guys. Now, whether those guys were interested in marrying them or not, one thing, but
We can't let you off the hook with that, Kathleen. I just want to say this. That you're telling me your friends didn't sit back and go, I want him to have a good job, he need to have a car, he need to have this. They didn't set the parameters on the guy.
I didn't say, did I say that?
Well, essentially, you were saying that they wanted the relationship. I think they had parameters in their relationship. You said they didn't say, I didn't need a guy. They said, I need this kind of guy, which means I don't need one who's not that guy.
Oh, see, now that's different.
Well, it's still the same.
That's different. But if we're going to go there, so yeah, women had a list. They had a list, I think.
Their list was bad.
Yeah, and guys had a list too, you know. And
guys don't have a list.
Okay,
because since I know I'm going to get yelled at about this. Go ahead, Rodney.
I can, because I just heard a man the other day say, I need a girl with a big booty, something. What song? There's a song out.
Lil Wayne, right?
Huh?
I think it was Lil Wayne's song or something. No, maybe not Lil Wayne, but one of his counterparts. Anyway, go ahead.
2 Chainz.
Right.
Rapper, his name is 2 Chainz. I don't know. I only heard that portion. I kind of turned it off. It was a little bit, you know, out of my league. But heard it in my ears a bit. But I grew up in the era of I don't need a man.
Right, but I don't understand your point.
I really did, and I did say it several times.
Oh.
Because I said it several times because the men didn't want to. They didn't want to step up. They were. I've had, you know, when I was actually just dating, and I've had guys tell me, "Why do I need a job? You work." I've had a guy tell me that.
Right, and and being the only guy here, so I'm trying to watch my words really carefully on professional style today. But
don't watch them; let them fly. Don't run
yeah,
for
them. I'll mute it and edit it later. But all I'm saying is, in this case, is that yes, guys will say that first of all, you can't be competitive with guys. It's what guys do. So if you tell him to get a job, he's going to say, get a job. Like, that's what they do. So if you want that kind of fight, yes. But if you looked for someone who you knew was hardworking, even if they were out of work, it didn't mean they were going to be out of work long. It just meant that their drive is there, that they're going to have something, right? And so instead of people looking for the quality of person, they looked at something superficial. And so looking at superficial meant that you were going to have that competition stuff that goes on with that. It's just like saying with men in particular, if you tell a man that, you know, I'm not your mother and I'm not doing A, B, and C, and D, that guy has a girlfriend. I you know, no matter what anybody says, he is going to go around some woman who's catering to him. I don't care how strong of a woman you think you are. If you tell him that, his secretary is paying him some attention. Somebody is. You know, and I know I've gone through this before, what my theory is on strip clubs. There's a reason why they exist.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Well, it's a perfectly good reason why they exist.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But my point is that how do we solve the problem of me, because now women want to settle down. They always had. The reason why they said those things was because they were hurt. Most women only said that because they were hurt. I don't need a man. You know that's not true. So they were hurt. They felt like the guys, their expectations were really out of the realm of reality. You know, we lived in an area for a long time that the men, it was really, really, I don't know, what's the word? They were difficult to get along. And I feel that's something that was media-driven as well. A black woman can't find a man. It's blazing everywhere you go. So now her mind is tainted and her subconscious is affected and infected with, you can't find a man.
Wow, we have a caller on the line from the 716 area code who is going to weigh in on this conversation. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to Professional Style. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, caller.
My name is Ron, and I'm calling from.
Hey, Ronno.
How you doing?
I'm great.
I just want to say, Ronnie, yeah, this call is not set up. Kathy did not know I was going to call. I didn't know.
I
just wanted to call the name. Okay, now we went to high school together. Okay, your host Kathleen is like a sister to me. You went to high school together.
Yeah.
That's how far back we go. Okay. Now my question is.
And don't
this.
Tell them when.
Amen. Tell me something. In your discussion, are you talking about looking for a man or not wanting to be with an overage boy? Because if you have to tell somebody that, you know, you need a job, there's a question there as to the quality of the person you're talking to then. The person may not have a job, but to not be looking, to not feel the need to look, for someone to say to a woman, well, you know, why do I need a job? You're working. Is that a man you're talking about, or is that an overage boy?
Right, I agree with that.
Overage boy.
Yeah, let me go to church. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I absolutely agree. What do you say, Ronnie? Because the person said it to you. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
And
me too.
And that's why I go back to what I said originally. We make bad choices. And a lot of times we camp out in bad choices.
So where do women turn now? I'm not going to go into the question of is it God's plan, because that question was really deep. But so where do women turn? You know, what do they do? So even if let's say the conversation was, I don't need a man 20 years ago, and okay, well, they're like, oh, my bad, yeah, I do, right? Well, what is the recourse now? What's the course correct for women who find themselves in this situation?
Stay off of the internet.
The men or the women?
Right.
The men don't seem to have a problem with being on the internet. They're cool. Oh, I get you. Because you said the women are allowing it, so for the women to stay off the internet too.
The women need to stay off the internet looking for, you know, the husband of their dreams. I don't believe that you're going to find them on the internet, because me being on the internet is like being something in a grocery shelf.
I walk
by the grocery shelf and I'll point at this and I'll let me try this brand this week. Oh, let me try this brand this week. That's just my opinion.
Ronald, what do you think?
I'm sitting here thinking about someone I know, a friend of mine actually, who will not date in church or at work, because if it doesn't work out, that person feels like their business will be all over the place. So they won't date in church or at work. But historically, it seemed like those were two very good places to look for a companion.
Wow. Well, well, the thing that came up in my mind is, like, I've been in church since you were the Pope. Anyway, you're listening to Professional Style for the
Kathy, she had to get herself a break out of that one. I didn't know what happened.
I can't tell you how many churches I've been to, but this is Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network. And we are here talking about how women can course correct, if you will, or whatever, and find suitable mates, because so many women are saying that they don't have them. So I don't know. We're probably going to have to revisit this conversation again and pull up some more information about it. But go ahead, Ronnie.
I meet a man in church every time I go.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay. Can you text me the address?
Okay.
But I'm not looking. I'm not looking. But I always meet my mom. Always have. Always.
See,
I don't believe in men shortages. I never have had a male shortage. I don't believe in it. So that might be one of the problems that women have, because their mind is tainted. I'm saying it's a, in my opinion, it's a mental defect. I don't believe in this man shortage. No, I don't. I think that there's a man out there for every single woman, and if you don't plague yourself with the curse of, oh, I'm never going to find somebody, you're going to find somebody. And it is God's will for us to be with someone.
Well, all righty then. I hope everybody heard that. I don't believe in a man shortage either, but I have another theory. So anyway, we'll talk about that later. Jerome, what do you think?
Well, the way it started off, I have to say that Ronnie is right. Right, there is no such thing as shortage generally, but it depends what you're looking for. Like, so you call shortages out when there's something specific that you are looking for. So you can say I'm looking for bread, and there's 20,000 different variations of Italian white wheat rye kind of bread. But if you have a specific in mind and they don't have that one specific, do you not eat bread or make a sandwich because that particular bread wasn't available? I think that what happens is that we've gone through this time that people are thinking that they can order people like they're on a menu. And that's why they say that there's a shortage, because the one that they had on their menu, they can't seem to find. And I think that's more of a problem than it is just having a shortage of people. So, you know, we haven't gone into the quantum stuff. I don't think we have enough time in this show. But I think that when you start talking about how you draw people, is how you get people in your life generally. There's a mechanism for that, and there's a way in how you look at life and how it kind of is reflective to you. So whatever it is that you're seeing out there has a little bit more to do with what you're seeing internally.
There are two things that came up in that in what you just said that I want to bring up. Well, one is that I think we should extend the show on quantum instead of just doing a segment on it. So I think we should think about doing that. And ladies and gentlemen, you just heard a taste of what we'll be talking about when we talk about quantum living with Jerome Esprit, who is, can I say it, that you're
mm-hmm.
penning, oh, that you, who is penning a book on the subject of quantum living. The other thing that you said was something that I saw in Essence Magazine, Ebony Magazine, Jet, every other African-American publication for years. I would say in the early 2000s and definitely throughout all of the 90s, when this was the same conversation, by the way, that there aren't any black men around, or black men are here, there, and all these other places except in relationships with black women. The conversation was that black women should consider this was the article, lowering their standards and not having such outlandish standards for the mate that they were looking for. So they put, you know, you want too much, you're too unrealistic, you're too this, you're too that, you're too the other, and you need to lower your standards. Some magazines went as far as to say as to dumb down or whatever it was, and, you know, all those conversations came up. And I just wanted to bring that up because that's what I thought about when you said the bread, when you talked about the bread.
Oh, yeah. And thinking about that, it's just that those have always been out there, and those have always been questions about how you meet people and where do you go to meet them. Those are very old questions, and we always do that as a society, just generally in our humanity, is where do you meet that person? And so that's not abnormal. What's abnormal is the fact that people are finding comfort in not having relationships. And so sometimes people go through self-sabotaging of their own relationships because they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you left your shoes in front of the door. I can't live with that. And they start having these really unnecessary and I don't even know what a good word for it, but it's just kind of unnatural rules of existence. And you have to remember, everybody has their own path, and you cannot expect people not to grow just because they met you. So people really get a little hung up on the fact that you didn't like peas when I met you, now you like peas. You know, you can't get away from that stuff. People get to grow up.
Go ahead, Ronald.
No, I was thinking about when you went through a litany of African-American magazines, you know, very recently Ebony covered this topic. Is their cover story would be Whitney with the movie they just did, the remake movie, Sparkle, is on
yeah.
the cover. Okay, in that edition, they actually talked about this, and they said that, I want to get it right, but basically it was saying that women, what they were talking about was women who had been to college, okay, why are they, or are they, and if so, why are they not in a relationship? And as it turned out, the numbers are now, they are more often in a relationship than not, and more often in a relationship than their counterparts who, say, have not graduated from college, which was what the article was measuring. Okay. So it could be that the numbers in recent years are changing, but it's just not, it's still a stereotype, in other words. Or it is a stereotype now, and that the numbers are changing. There is a new trend, but it's not a very widely known or publicized trend.
And that's quite possible. I'm not sure. But I think that there are enough women who are still scratching their heads to find out, you know, why not me?
Why right, that's right.
Yeah. To say why not me, and a lot of them are aging out, if you will, of the childbearing ages and so forth, and there's an increased frustration in not being able to find a guy. So I think what we'll do is pick up this conversation again where we can have more discussion about quantum living and maybe pull in some additional people to talk with us about it and some statistics as well. So Ronald, thank you so much for calling in. It's wonderful to hear your voice. My brother from high school. How incredible is that? Yay! You are listening to Professional Style. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, and we are here on the Ask Kathleen Network. I'm here with Jerome Esprit and my sister Ronnie, and my buddy from high school, Ronald Brown, just joined us for a few minutes to talk about being single and single living. So we're going to take a real quick break, that's a tongue twister, and come back and wrap up in just a minute. You're listening to Professional Style, and you can still catch us at 909-265-9189. We'll be right back.
Vaseline Total Moisture is now better than ever with pure natural and multi-layer moisture, infusing deeply, absorbing quickly, so it feels good and does good for skin. Next Generation Vaseline.
Where does a great night out get even better? At the new Ruby Tuesday, with our freshly made lobster tail and steakhouse sirloin for only $14.99. Enjoy the tempting combination of sweet lobster paired with a perfectly seasoned sirloin, cooked just the way you like it and served with a free garden bar, all for only $14.99. But join us soon. A pairing this perfect won't last forever. The new Ruby Tuesday.
The best way to tell how great you look is in your jeans. Drop a jean size in 2 weeks with the Special K Challenge. With more delicious options than ever. Jeans don't lie. Go to the new SpecialK.com to design your plan.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network. I'm joined by my sister Ronnie and my good friend and co-host also, Jerome Free. We're here tonight talking with you about some really interesting things. If you didn't catch all of the show, be sure to catch it in the archives. This is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we're getting ready to head first. Into the holidays, and we're counting down to the number of days to the end of the year. So, Ronnie, did you have a raise? Did you think of your raise?
Oh, I did have a raise. And do we have a moment?
Yeah, we have a moment.
Okay. I've been watching, listening, and trying to get an unbiased, still biased understanding of why Nicki Minaj was yelling at Mariah Carey on the new American Idol. They're the two new American Idol judges, and I'm wondering, are they doing it to get, to start a buzz for the show, or are they actually yelling? Is Nicki Minaj, does she really, really have the nerve to yell and scream at Mariah Carey? It got to the point where Mariah Carey got extra security because Nicki said, if I had a gun, I'd have shot her.
What?
And, yeah, and I was just, I just couldn't believe it. I was in shock. And, I thought, okay, I understand when people get the big head, they think I'm a superstar now, I'm so wonderful, but then do we not have any respect or any reserve at all? You know, Mariah Carey is a national treasure, and they're sending out, you know, we just lost Whitney Houston, who was truly a national treasure. So, you know, no matter what happens, when do you have some type of respect and learn how to, you know, contain yourself? Or is it just to get a buzz for the show? I'm not really sure, but I really would love to be able to confront Nicki about it. I've heard little bits and pieces about her saying, you know, I'm just not going to let anybody play me. I'm not going to let anybody disrespect me. Or I'm the new kid on the block, so everybody's picking on me, you know, that kind of thing. But I do believe that there's a point where you should watch some of the things you say. And no matter what was going on the set, for you to say that you would get a gun and shoot somebody, and I'm not the biggest Nicki Minaj fan, but that just kind of turned me off. And Mariah Carey, to me, you know, deserves all the respect that anybody can get as an artist. And, you know, she's kept herself through over the decades.
she has remained one of the most revered artists there, that we have. And as far as I'm concerned, Nikki should get down on her knees and be glad that they even let her in the same room with Mariah Carey. That's my rant.
And here you have it. You are listening to Professional Style on the Ask Kathleen Network. We're here every Sunday evening at 8 p.m., and you have just been listening to Ronnie's Rave. And thank you so much, Ronnie. I love it. I love that. I love the conversation. So we will call Nikki and find out what her problem is, what it happened was.
And you know what? I would love to get into a conversation with her because she wouldn't blast me like that.
Yeah, no, and I think it's high time when we took some of this violence out of the reality television. So anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for being here tonight. You are listening to Professional Style. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, and I'm here with my co-host, Ronnie and Jerome Esprit. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Ronald, for calling and hanging out with us this evening. It's been a spirited conversation. Great show, and we will be back next Sunday evening, same time, same place. Don't forget to listen to Black on Black Crime tomorrow and every Monday at 2 p.m. right here on the Ask Kathleen Network. And also, you can find Jerome Esprit on Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. on Esprit Net News Radio. Thank you again for listening. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday evening. Have an incredible week, and we will check out now and see you then. Bye-bye. Good night, everybody.